On Saturday night, you were talking about the habitual seeker, and I realized you were talking about me, because I've been seeking since I was 28, so nearly 50 years of seeking. But my great love was Ramakrishna, so I wanted to be the ideal devotee and realize God through every religion and stay in prolonged states of samadhi. So I recognized, well, I followed a guru in India for 16 years until he died. And then I realized that I was praying to myself because he never spoke to me in 16 years, but all my experiences were internal, but they always went away. So I switched then to Advaita, but I didn't really understand Ramana Maharshi. Or, you know, we were in Tiruvannamalai, so there are many Advaita teachers. So I didn't actually understand until I found you during COVID. And you could have saved me a lot of time. Many, many years. Anyway, I live between two spiritual communities, one in Scotland and one in India. And both communities have quite a lot of conflict going on. And even though they have a definite spiritual practice. So my question is how not to support the separate self or King Lear or Jane within community.
By not identifying yourself with any community, with any tradition, or with any teacher.
Wow. That's helpful.
If you identify yourself with anything, however noble that thing is, a marvelous non-dual teacher or a great spiritual tradition, you are limiting yourself.
Mm. Okay.
And there's nothing very spiritual about that. Although you may appear to be very spiritual because you're such a good devotee of a particular teacher or a particular tradition, but you are limiting yourself. And if you are limiting yourself, you are by definition setting yourself up for conflict. That's why there's conflict between religious communities and spiritual communities and between teachers and all that. There's nothing spiritual about that. It's just a kind of a veneer over the ego.
Lots of dramas.
Yeah, there's nothing spiritual about that. But the ego flourishes in spiritual communities. And the ego flourishes by devoting itself to a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the best ways the ego substantiates and perpetuates itself in the religious and spiritual traditions by devoting itself exclusively to a teacher. Most of the world's wars take place between people who disagree with each other's teachers. There's nothing spiritual.
We call it a spiritual superego.
Yeah.
But you see,
so I recommend, Gail, and don't misunderstand me, I don't mean that you should leave your community or that you should leave your teacher or you should leave the group of friends. Just don't identify. In your heart, know that you know, one of the most difficult... Ultimately, again, I wouldn't say this to everyone, but another way the ego substantiates itself, perpetuates itself, is by being a devotee.
Hmm. Yes, because
if you are a devotee,
objectifying something
there has
out there
to be a beloved.
Yeah.
And however noble that beloved is, you stand apart from it as its devotee.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore you cannot be devoted to the infinite. Because if whatever you're devoted to, you set yourself up as a self, as a finite self, in distinction to that. So, and this is the most difficult thing for the devotee, and this is why Meister Eckhart prayed to God to rid him of God. He was saying, I no longer want to have a trace of the separate self left in me. Even the ultimate devotee, take that away from me so that there is only you and nothing but you. That's true devotion. But you have to go directly with your being. You can't do it through anyone or anything. And please don't misunderstand me. I'm not suggesting that you should leave your community or your teacher or your No, that's fine. You can keep going you can keep going in your community. You can keep doing your practices. You can, but in your heart, you must be free. And if you brought that to your community, I was going to say that's a great gift that you could bring your community. They may not.
I think I'd like to bring you to my community.
I'm not sure that's a good idea.
I think it would be helpful. We actually have had quite a lot of non-dual teachers.
Yeah.
But the problem is, you know, I mean, for me, when I see myself as already looking. So before I came to this, I went to a Plum Village retreat because I felt that there's a purity of when you have a like Thich Nhat Hanh was exceptionally pure.
Yes.
There
yes,
are some teachers who are exceptionally pure.
Yes.
And when you lose that, you sort of then have all the, I don't know, the conflicts. That's how it appears to me.
Well,
but I'm still, find myself still looking.
But when you lose your teacher, when Thich Nhat Hanh dies or whoever your teacher, when they die, you take that as a great gift. It's not then an opportunity to get immersed in all the dramas of your community, which inevitably begin when the teacher, not inevitably, but often begin when the teacher dies. No, you take the true import of that event, the death of your teacher. It's like when Ramana was dying, the story goes, and all his many of his devotees were crying and they were upset, and Ramana was saying to him, why are you crying? For 50 years I've been telling you that I am the I am of yourself. I am your very own being. I'm not leaving you. What are you upset about? And because they had identified themselves with a person. And all his life he was telling him, don't be identified with a person. It's a recipe for sorrow. And so when your teacher dies, that is their ultimate gift to you.
Mm.
That you know. And so don't go from being identified with your teacher to being identified with the community that remains behind. Stay with the community of friends if you want to. But to let go of that last object of identification, to allow that to be your teacher's last gift to you. I am free. I need nobody.
I like that one. Yes. Thank you.
Thank you.